Valérie?
Actually, Ms. Mpondo is there. The PLO, Mr. Mokubane, is here. He's with the legal department. There are two other officials from the department here, as well as Mr. Alan Jacambi, that's also been attending meetings. So it's the team that are basically always attending the meeting on the bill chair. And then it's the state law advisor, Ms. Hari Charan, and Ms. Gangan, the parliament legal advisor.
Mr. Scudo, are you leading the department?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. I think Ms. Raksha Harichana will be leading the discussion today. I think, yes, in terms of the department, I'll be leading that side, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. State Law Advisor and Parliamentary Advisor, May Haricharan and May Kanjan, a warm welcome to this meeting. Otherwise, there is no any other politician in the meeting from the side of the department. Am I right, Valérie?
Yes, Chair, that's correct.
Thank you very much. I think let's start our business for today is the continuation of the ERT bill, Economic Regulation of Transport Bill, Bill number 1 of 2020. Do we have Advocate Nell in this meeting?
Yes, Chair, I'm always here.
Would you quickly remind us where we were so that we can then move, take it from there?
Okay, Chairperson, there were some matters that still had to be clarified, which is what the Parliamentary Legal Advisor will just take members through. Once we've cleared those aspects, there may not have been restrictions, decisions of the committee, but they were concerns that were raised by members that we just need clarity on before we include it in the A-list. And then the state law advisor will take members through the draft A list that has been drafted. The members will see the potential amendments, some corrections to the concerns of May or March.
Advocate Nell?
Yes, sir.
Are you overseas?
No, sir. I'm using a new audio device. I may have to change my settings so that I use the laptop sound if I'm a little bit stuck.
I do not hear you well from where I am. Are you experiencing a thunderstorm?
Jay, can you hear me better now?
Now you are very clear.
Okay, Chair, no, it's a new headset that I was using, so the audio from my side through the headset may have been an issue. Chair, as I was saying that the Parliamentary Legal Advisor will just take members through some of the concerns that were raised. These are concerns that we just need clarity on before we add it into the A-list. State Law Advisor will take members through the draft A-list. The A-list will see, members will see these consequential amendments that's through there. There's the inclusion of the option 2 that members wanted to see how the minister will in future incorporate the other entities that have to come in the other phases. And then, Chair, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor will just highlight some concerns that we still need clarity on before it's included in the A-list. So, Chair, once the concerns are raised, we'll just need members' input on those concerns, and then State Law Advisor can take us through the draft A-list, and then we'll need members' input on the draft A-list before we do the final the final consideration of the A-list chair, as we've done with Civil Aviation Authority, which was the most recent one that we did, if members recall. So Chair, that is basically we're trying to get towards the end point of the discussions on the bill, but we 100% need to have the decisions of the committee on the incorporations into the A-list so that we can finalize that for members. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Advocate Nell. State law advisor. Can we start with the last concern so that we can deal with it and finish it? But before we do that, I can see somebody does not have peace. Let me check what is troubling Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a point of clarity. I understand that we are now in pre-A-list and we'll work on a draft that clear all the issues that we raised and then consider A-list. At what stage would we have public participation on the final format, which differs considerably to what was published earlier on? So if we could just get an indication of such an opportunity for stakeholders and public participation input. Thank you, Chair.
Advocate Almanel.
Chair, as we do in all our bills, members are allowed to make the amendments and proposals. If those amendments and proposals fit within the scope of the bill, and these are not material changes, then there is generally not a need to republish. But Chair, if there is an extension of the scope of the bill, or an extension or an addition that may add to the purpose and objects of the bill, then there may be a need for us to do an application to the House for a further publication of those proposed new additions. Chair, we've done this in the past as well. So as we go through the amendments, consequential amendments normally, for example, do not fall under those ones that would change the major aspects of the bill. So if there's something like we did with the inclusion of SACA being considered as a preferential creditor, which wasn't in the bill at all, and it is a major impact of the bill in the previous type of legislation that we did, then that is the kind of permission we would require from the House. So Chair, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor and State Law Advisors will point out there to members if they feel that there's been a material change or that the proposed additions are of such a nature that it would be advised to do an application to the House for further publication, Chair.
Thank you very much for explaining that. The Parliamentary State Law Advisor can now come in.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members, and to everybody on the platform this morning.
Meganjin, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm super.
That's great. So what I propose to do this morning, Chairperson, is members would have received a draft A-list that the State Law Advisor circulated yesterday. Now, that draft A-list contains committee decisions, so that would be included in there. And what would also be included in there is agreement by the department on some of the items raised and concessions. What is not included in there, and it really is the purpose of today's meeting, is the issues that and the concerns that were raised by the committee that need clarification. So as I understand it, the state law advisor's mandate essentially is to incorporate committee decisions. And so a lot of the concerns that were raised by members, as I understand it, were not actual decisions, but concerns raised. And so what I'd like to get from today's meeting is I would like clarity on those concerns so that we can, the committee can decide on them and it can be incorporated and we can move forward. I'm going to ask if members could please just also bear in mind that I have a host of screens open on my laptop. So I'm going to literally be reading and referring to that. So if I could just get an indulgence in that regard. So Chair, I'm just going to jump right into it if that's all right. A major concern of the committee was the involvement of Parliament in the making of regulations and in board appointments. And in the meeting on the 26th of May and the 24th of August, there were discussions about what the committee wanted. Some members felt we shouldn't be involved and some members felt that we should be involved. So I just wanted clarity for purposes of incorporation in the A list, and just so that the state law advisor also is on the same page, what the committee decision was regarding Parliament's involvement with regards to the publishing of regulations and board appointments. If we can just get clarity on that and on that committee decision.
Advocate Nell.
Yes, Chair, the issue we had here is in the May meeting, members did indicate that they were happy to leave the board appointments and the regulation powers with the minister. However, Chair, as we went through the bill, there further down, there is an reference to an establishment of a council as well. And Chair, if members recall, the council, the purpose there is to oversee some decisions by the regulator or to deal with appeals or other concerns. Now, Chair, the council's appointment was not part of the discussion in May, but the bill currently allows for the council members to also be appointed by the minister. However, in the deliberations, when we got to the council, members indicated that there is a need for an independence to be between the council and the regulator. So our concern was just to clarify with members whether they would still be happy with the minister doing both the regulator board appointments as well as the council appointments, or whether or not there's possibly another way we can look at making sure that there's greater independence between those two bodies. Chair, that is the concern, whether we can do it through the appointments, if members would like Parliament to be involved in that side of things. That's one option. The other option, Chair, is another proposal that might come before members today, where there's proposals for something that's in the line of an alternative dispute resolution process between the council and the regulator, so that if they differ in their decisions, how would they be able to deal and sort out those differences? So, Chair, that is the one aspect. 26 May, members indicated board appointments and regulations stay with the minister, but the council appointment was not addressed in that meeting, Chair.
That is correct. The latter part is correct. I know there were some proposals. The first issue was why do we need a change in this thing? And I think we parked that matter and we should be able to conclude the matter today. So we should be able to really conclude that matter today. Before I open that debate so that we close this matter quickly, that is Kudo, you reported that you are not in a good place. I don't know, maybe you're in Limpopo. Can we get you to have a comment before we move on this matter?
Thank you, Chair. For now, I can hear you. I'm connected, but I keep on losing the connection, and I sincerely apologize for that. But our comment from the department is that we also support the fact that there should be a serious independence from the council, which is a dispute mechanism to the regulator. We agree to that principle, Chair. However, the appointment, we would want to maintain it to be the minister, but the work of the council should be totally different to that of the regulator, because the council is purely to deal with issues of dispute so that you avoid from the public or any other disgruntled person to go to the courts. So that's why we putting in place the council, which is a tribunal of some sort, for those who would know how regulation happens, Chair. So, but I'll be guided by the committee as to what they would prefer, Chair. But we agree that in principle, the two institutions should be distinct and be independent from both, so that the council operates away from the council itself. Let me give you an example. Currently, we have the port regulator, which has a board, and the board looks at the appeals and complaints of the industry players, which is not a proper way in which you would conduct independent economic regulation, Chair. So it's one of the areas in which the consequence of this regulation is putting in place, so that we have an independent tribunal, which, lack of a better way, to be calling it a council for now. But yeah, we agree, Chair. But in terms of the principle of having it being independent, and if there's a better way in which you appoint board members than what we have proposed now, Chair, we are open for that, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable members, there we are. I see only one hand. Can I have the second hand and the third hand so that we can close this matter? Where are members? Honorable Onsinga, come in. You'll be followed by Honorable McDonald. Honorable Onsinga.
Thank you, Chairperson. And good morning to our officials. Chairperson, I think it is rather important that the arm's length between the board and the council is structured. Therefore, I propose, Chairperson, that the council, which oversees functions of dispute mechanism, should therefore see the involvement of Parliament in terms of the recommendations, and that the minister in the final capacity equal to the board appointments then can make final appointments. So therefore, interviews by Parliament and the recommendations by Parliament following a shortlist. It would be my recommendation on this. Thank you, Chair.
We're talking about, let me get it clear. We're now talking about this other matter, Honorable Onsinga.
We're talking of the council, Chairperson.
The council, yeah.
So the board would be board would be appointed by the minister,
yes,
with no involvement of parliament.
Okay.
Whereas the council would see a short list, interviews by parliament, and recommendations with final appointments from the recommendations by the minister.
Okay, let me hear the members. Thank you very much, Honorable Hunsinger. Let's now gravitate towards Honorable McDonald, and he will be followed by Honorable Buramatwa. Thank you.
Chairperson, good morning. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I feel that the way that it's structured, I don't have much of a problem as the way that it was explained to us now. I think that the appointment of the board will be done by the minister. The appointment of the council will be done by the minister. If there is a feel that the council members should be shortlisted through a process in parliament, because it is a council similar to what the SABC is, then I don't have a big problem with that, Chairperson. I think what they have presented to us works for me. I think that the board and the council can be appointed by the minister. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Boramata.
Mudurachidulo.
Abu Udi.
Nabatuwa teva neva vamtanganun. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I don't know, but my understanding was that we continue with what is happening on the appointment of the boards. I think I can't remember the date wherein we spoke about it and we agreed that we are continuing with what is happening now. And then it means the minister is going to do what he's doing now. And then on the issue of council, I agree with those that are saying it must be independent. So that they can be able to deal with the disputes properly. That's my submission, Chairperson. I'm still saying we as the board, as the portfolio committee, must not be involved with the appointment of boards. Thanks.
Thank you very much. You can lower your hand, Honorable Buramatwa. I think there are consensus. The way I hear members saying, board continues as it is, council should be independent. And Honorable McDonald, did second, and I hear Buramatwa also not having a problem with that. Does that settle the problem that we have? Yes. What is the other issue?
Chairperson, so I just wanted to be clear, the board appointments there with the minister and the council appointments, are we saying that Parliament will be involved and that the board and the council are independent?
That's what I'm hearing, but the final appointment of the council also will,
yes,
go to the minister.
Yes, but with Parliament involvement.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so we can move on to the next issue. You will recall, Chairperson, that there was a big concern about the PIA and the papaya application to this bill. And at the time, we said we were going to look at it. The state law advisor has come back with a response to that concern. There was no committee decision on this particular point. it was a concern raised by the committee, and the explanation by the state law advisor is sufficient. She's referred to Section 32 of the Constitution. In any event, these acts, Paya and Papaya, get their life from the Constitution, and so they give effect to the Constitution. So I am satisfied with the explanation by the state law advisor. However, I have drafted a clause to include it if the committee decides that they would prefer to have it included into the A list.
May I return?
Good morning, Chair, and to all the people present in the meeting. Chair, my point actually relates to the previous discussion on the appointment of the council members, Chair. I'd just like to please seek clarity regarding to the role of Parliament in the appointment of the council members in the interview process and the shortlisting process. Chair, just to clarify, in terms of the, will Parliament itself be involved? Will that involve both houses, the National Assembly and the NCOP? Or will it just be the NCOP be involved in the interview process and the shortlisting process? If I can please obtain some clarity on that point, please, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. We will clarify you on that point, Mayor Chairman. Let's finish first with this point that has been raised by Mayor Kanjin.
Thank you.
Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, thank you. Apologies for sticking up my hand so quickly. I just wanted to say that I think regarding the PAYA and inclusion of the what was just explained to us, and to add a section that speaks to that, to the PAYA Act, and that would be a good, they're rather more than less into the bill, and it makes it makes me more comfortable that it already, that it's in there in the bill, and it won't change much of the bill. So I am in support that we add that clause that she's referring to. Thank you, Chairperson.
That is a move which is supported by Honorable Hans Singer. Any other different view when it comes to this issue? There is no different view, so that matter is closed. Honorable Chris Hunsinger, or maybe before I go to you, Mayor Sharon.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with regards to the PAYA Act and the POPI Act, Chair, humbly referred the committee to Section 32 of the Constitution, which deals with access to information. And in terms of this clause, everyone has a right of access to information held by the state, etc. And Section 32, Subsection 2 of the Constitution states that national legislation must be enacted to give effect to this right and may provide for reasonable measures to alleviate the administrative and financial burden of the state. And this national legislation which gives effect to this is the POPI and PAYA Act. And we believe that there's automatic application to the Act. The spirit of the Act are included in the Economic Regulation Transport Bill. And it has automatic application. Of course, we are governed by Section 32 of the Constitution. So we have the view that the Act is adequately covered in the bill as is. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, you are muted.
So you hear me when I'm still muted. Thank you very much, Valerie. I'm saying what harm will it do if this clause that is prepared by Mayor Kanjin is inserted in this bill, Mayor Chere?
Chair, I don't foresee any harm, Chair. We'll abide by the decision of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Hunsinger.
Yes, Chairperson.
There was a question that was asked, and I guess you have an idea because this was your proposal.
Is this with regards to the board the and council appointments?
Yeah,
the council appointments, Chair. My proposal there is that a shortlist should be generated. Parliament should be involved in the interviews, and that a recommendation list should then be submitted for the minister then to make final appointments. Given that this is economic transport regulator, it makes sense to involve the NCOP as well, because I would imagine it implicates the function and the implicates provinces. And I would therefore suggest that it should be a combined panel between NA and NCOP.
Okay. Can we get a seconder to this, or anybody who's violently opposed?
I second, Chairperson, and I'm not violently opposed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Anyone who's not for it? Thank you very much. That settles it then. Ms. Kanjin?
Thank you, Chairperson. The next concern that I'd like clarity on is there was a request, there was discussion about the definition of the words railway infrastructure. And I had prepared a clause to give effect to that concern. However, when discussing with the state law advisor, they were of the view that it wasn't a decision of the committee. So I would just like clarity as to whether that was a committee decision, and if not, does the committee want to include the definition of a railway infrastructure? I know it was a concern that was raised and we did speak about it quite a bit. I just need confirmation and clarity. Thank you, Chair.
Mayor Richardson, do you have anything to say before I open up to the committee?
Chair, with regards to the definition of the railway infrastructure, it was expressed as a concern of the members whether a definition should be included in the Act. With regards to the definition of railway infrastructure, it's the intention of the department that the bill applies to the entire transport sector, transport industry. And on this basis, the definition of railway infrastructure wasn't included because the bill is intended to have national application to the entire transport sector in South Africa. Thank you.
Okay, let me hear members. Members? On this matter, let me get Ubaba Chris Hunsinger and followed by Ubaba Lawrence Waga McDonald. In that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't know how specific you want to be, but I would suggest that we define railway infrastructure as the rail network concluding of the whole 3,180 kilometers. Which then covers, Transnet and Prasa-owned railway sections, but that it's defined with inclusion of the whole rail network also signal equipment, everything. So that it's clear that this regulator then governs the whole rail network with inclusion of all the coaches and the whole infrastructure, everything. But then particularly ownership of rail sections.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member, Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, also, I think it should include all facets of rail infrastructure, because I think we have discussed this at length in the portfolio committee that in the future there will be independent rail operators in the country. And I think if we define it properly and include every sector of the rail industry and all of the moving parts with it, and that will include the ports and everything that's attached to the rail, I think it makes it a clearer and better understanding and a better bill for economic regulation. Thank you, Chairperson.
So you are seconding Honorable Owen Singer. Thank you very much. Any member who has something different to say, going once, twice, thrice, thank you very much.
Sorry, Chair, I know I'm not a member, but can I give some information on the matter?
Yes, sir.
I can't raise my hand. Sorry, Chair, I couldn't raise my hand here. But can I?
I have
more information so that you can make a decision that is proper.
I have allowed you to do so, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I think we've got two ways in which we can look at this mess. The first way is that if we have a definition for railway infrastructure, we might as well have a definition for other modes infrastructure, Chair. But I think from our side, we would prefer not to have a definition for railway infrastructure. Would have by the primary legislation like you would have for the ports infrastructure. That's how we put it from our side. The danger of having a single, lack of a better word, single definition for only the railway sector is that people will be asking as to why don't we have a similar definition for other modes, like your road infrastructure, like your rail your maritime aviation infrastructure. That's where, from our side, we then thought, because the bill is for the transport, not a specific definition of infrastructure, but leave it to the primary legislations that are for modes, Chair. That's the information I wanted to share for your consideration. Thank you.
I hope members did get you clearly, although you were not so audible at some point in that immediate. Members, do you want to say something on this one? Honorable Unsinger, Mayor Ramadwa.
Chairperson, before Mr. Hunsinger, can he repeat himself? Because I didn't hear him properly.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Honorable Hunsinger. Ndatemeke.
Give a message, Chairperson.
How mameti? Irajo alomre.
Okay. What I was saying, Kore, if we have a definition for railway infrastructure in the bill itself, we might as well do the same with other modes, like your roads infrastructure, like your maritime infrastructure, as well as your aviation infrastructure, Chair. But from our side, we would prefer not to have that definition in the bill that we're talking about now, on the basis theory, each mode has the primary legislation that governs it, and those legislations, they have their own definitions. Our infrastructure is what, Chair? You know, so that's my input that I was making for consideration by the honorable members, Chair. I hope I'm audible enough, Chair.
Yes, you are. Honorable Onsenga.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you for the opinion by the department. Indeed, Chairperson, I concur that there is a primary reference in terms of definition when it gets to each of the different modes of transport and the expression of the functions and the roles in each of the acts. However, I think in this regard that where we are dealing with rail, and we have the Legal Succession Act, which brought this division between Transnet and TRASA. This does not intrude on that Legal Succession Act in any way. It does not intrude. We are dealing with a particular role and function, which is the economic regulation thereof. And therefore, I don't see any threat in including this specifics on rail infrastructure. And indeed, I concur that as this evolves by starting off with ports, by including other modes of transport within the framework of economic regulation, that additional definitions might be necessary. But for the kickoff, I think it's important then to define rail infrastructure as an aspect which then refers to the whole rail infrastructure, in other words, the whole 3,180 kilometers of rail, 3,100 coaches, all the stations and everything related to that. I think it's something like 585 stations that we have. So it includes all of that. And should we then in future involve elements of aviation or maritime, which then necessitates inclusion in the same way to then also define that infrastructure, there is that opportunity. So I would suggest, Chairperson, that we do define rail infrastructure as suggested, and that we consider each of the other modes as things develop in inclusion of other economic transport sectors. Thank you, Chair.
Mayor Almanel, followed by Bora Madwa.
Chair, I just wanted to provide some background on why members raised the concern. Chair, if you do a search on the bill on the word infrastructure, members will see that Chapter 2 has the specific heading of being access to rail infrastructure. And when we address this, members then raise the concern that you have a whole chapter that's dedicated to this access, but there's no definition of rail infrastructure. So, Chair, that is where the concern then came up. But to cover what the department indicated, Chair, in the definitions, as the purpose of the bill is to regulate the economics related to the transport sector, there's a definition of transport sector, which means shipping and ports, aviation, rail or road transport. So, Chair, that one in the most broad sense, that should cover the infrastructure as it is added. But for purposes of this act, if we link it to Chapter 2 being a whole chapter linked to rail infrastructure, Chair, that is why members came up with the proposal that it would assist if there's a definition for rail infrastructure in this bill. Chair, I just thought I would just give some background on where that discussion came from for me.
Thank you very much. Bo Ramadwa. Oh, yes, Bo Ramadwa. Then we'll end with the Honorable Chris Onsena.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I know that we have Honorable Hunsinger has proposed and Honorable Maldi has seconded. But now listening to the department, my understanding is that it means if we leave this as railway rail infrastructure, it's going to include also, that's how I understand it, it's going to include also other modes like roads and aviation, because now we can't, if we change this and we can't have time to also to do, to change or to make amendment on the, or to make amendment on the roads, on the aviation. So my understanding is that let us do what the department is proposing. Then going forward is then that we can see how are we going to deal with other modes.
It's 10 hours.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Buramadwa. Just to give clarity, the understanding is that the department is not opposed to the committee's view, but it says we may as well extend that to other the sectors as they have named them. And the explanation was that this came as a result of Chapter 2, which we are dealing with in this bill. Just to clarify you. But let's hear Honorable Chris Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was trying to find that particular definition which Advocate Nell mentioned, because I thought in asking, would there be any damage or serious implications upon adding the word to the definition as it stands, to just add at the end where it says transportation and infrastructure? Can we test that with our legal people, please?
The legal people, please. Kanjen and me Haricharan and me Advocate Nell.
Thank you.
Transport sector means shipping and ports, aviation, rail or road transport. Yes.
What I'm suggesting to add there, and infrastructure, subject to the opinions.
And that will settle it.
It might, Chairperson, it is a humble suggestion.
Yes, I was just checking if that is inserted, then we are good to go. Let's hear the thinking tanks of this. Maybe let's start with the Ndatemye case, because he's part of this. That is good. Ndatemye Getsi? Who else from the department side is here?
Chair, there are officials who have been attending meetings on this bill. They are in the meeting.
Mia Getsi? Okay.
Sorry, Chair, I may have lost the discussions due to network, so I don't know how to respond and onward as well, Chair. Sorry.
Okay, we will be very patient with you. Meganjen, can we beam what we're talking about?
Yes, Chairperson. So we were looking at, there were discussions in the committee about the definition of railway infrastructure. And I had proposed a definition for railway infrastructure to be considered. But there was no clarity on whether this was a committee decision to add it as a definition or not. And I was seeking clarity on whether that was a committee decision or not to add that definition. And members have now expressed that they'd like to add the word infrastructure to the existing definition of transport sector on page 7 at the bottom of the page, and whether that insertion would be adequate to cover the members' concerns.
Can you beam that and then add the proposal on it so that when he engages, he has a full understanding?
I don't have sharing. Could I ask the
Advocate Almanel?
Thank you, Alma. No.
Let's go to it. There we are. Railway infrastructure includes railway lines and other structures, building and equipment together with the corresponding land and or rail reserves located on railway premises and or rail reserves designed for the management, passenger or freight transport and for the maintenance of the infrastructure for these purposes. Right. Move it a bit to the middle. Yes. Then transport sector means shipping. What is this? And
ports.
This is so small. Aviation, rail or road transport. What was the humble proposal by Honorable Nsinga?
Please proceed.
Sorry, Honorable Member. It was to include the word infrastructure.
Infrastructure. And if infrastructure is included, and the committee will be happy, then we'll leave this matter and move forward. That is Kudo.
I'm comfortable, Chair. I think I like the proposal, Chair. Thank you so much.
You like the proposal. Okay. Thank you so much. Anybody from the legal people who has an issue with this before I call for any seconder?
I'm happy with the proposal, Chairperson.
Mehar Charan? Is Mr. Haricharan still with us? Let's take it, she's still drinking water. Any seconder to that matter?
Honorable Chairperson, I second Honorable Nsinga.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ramadwa. Any member who has an issue on this secondment, going once, thrice, can we then move forward?
Sorry, Chair.
Mayor Chair. Yes.
Apologies, Chair, for not raising my hand. Chair, if I may just address the committee on this issue of the definition of a railway infrastructure. Chair, the term railway infrastructure, as it's used in the world, it's used in the ordinary sense, railway infrastructure in the ordinary sense of the word and the ordinary meaning. It's referring to the transport sector and of rail infrastructure. I think the ordinary meaning of the word is quite clear. And with regard to the proposal of an amendment to the definition of transport sector to include main shipping and ports, aviation and rail or road transport and infrastructure, it's our humble submission that the words and infrastructure does not fit into that definition, and it in terms of interpretation mainly it's a problem. It doesn't fit into the definition because the definition of transport sector as it is different, is referring to the different modes of transport, such as shipping, aviation, and rail. It's referring to the modes of transport itself. So we would humbly submit that the word infrastructure not be included in the definition of transport sector. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Yeah, Mayor Chairman, we hear you. I did call you before we got a seconder, but it's okay.
I do apologize, Chair. I think there was a break in my connection. Apologize about that, Chair.
Whilst there was a break on in your connection, everybody else said that they are happy with it, including the department. How do we deal with that issue, Mayor Sharon?
Just to clarify, Chair, with regards to the definition, just to clarify that everybody is happy on which issue, please, Chair?
Yes. I'm saying every mechanism, the department, and now the portfolio committee, because it is the portfolio committee who wanted to understand the legal gurus in terms of including this thing. I'm just saying that you may have missed the fact that the department and Mekanjin were happy with the inclusion of infrastructure. I understand what you are saying, that the rest is modes of transport except for infrastructure. That's what you are saying. But I was just saying people were happy. So how do we move with this?
Chair, is the department happy to include a definition of railway infrastructure in the book?
Yes.
And that's fine, Chair. We'll abide by that decision.
Thank you very much.
No, but Chair.
Yes.
Can I come in, Chair?
Yes.
Ms. Raksha Harichana, she was talking about inclusion of the railway infrastructure definition, which is different to inclusion of the infrastructure into the transport sector definition, Chair.
Oh.
Yeah, so maybe you may have missed her. But maybe for her clarification, our worry is that if you put a railway infrastructure definition, you might as well do the same with roads, do the same with aviation, do the same with ports, Chair. However, we are inclined to having an infrastructure included in the transport sector definition, Chair, because it covers every mode of transport, Chair. That's where we're coming from. However, the other option, Chair, is to have an engagement with Ms. Harichana after the session and finalize it from our side. That's another proposal that I'm putting on the table, Chair, for your consideration.
Now, my own understanding, unless I missed it, the earlier proposal by Honorable Hunsinger was then replaced by the humble submission by him, which has since been agreed to by everybody, including yourself, the latter one. Am I interpreting you correctly, Honorable Hunsinger?
Yes, Chairperson, as I see it, if you will allow me, there was an independent suggested definition for railway infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And then parallel to that, we then looked at the transport sector definition, which was pointed out by Advocate Nell, which appears a lot simpler and a lot more overarching, in that the transport sector definition simply says that transport sector means shipping and ports, aviation, rail or road transport. And I then suggested that we include and infrastructure. Subsequent mm-hmm. to that proposal, it was broadly favored. And then Advocate Haricharan raised a concern that what we then intend doing changes the meaning of transport sector, which doesn't necessarily include the mode in addition to the infrastructure of the mode, which I appreciate. But I still maintain that within the context, and as she so nicely previously pointed out, the spirit of the Act refers to an economic intent of regulation. So within that context, this definition should be acceptable by the inclusion at the end of aviation, rail or road transport and infrastructure. I am of the opinion that it should be considered as such and not the independent definition of rail infrastructure, but simply by the addition of and infrastructure to the definition which we already have. Thank you, Chair.
That's how I understood it. Thank you very much. Can we then pass this one?
Yes, we can pass.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Meganjin.
Thank you, Chairperson. So just to confirm, we're going to be adding the words infrastructure to the last to the definition of transport sector as the last word there. And then just to add, it's my understanding that the definition of transport sector refers to everything and not just the mode. But I'll record that we've agreed to include the words infrastructure, which is perfect. I'm going to then move on to the next point of clarification. And the big concern, one of the big concerns that were raised, and that was the issue of the interoperability between the economic relator with the Competition Commission. There were concerns about what happens if someone takes the complaint to both bodies, what happens if there's a decision by both bodies, which decision would then obviously, which decision would weigh more than the other, and the overstepping of functions. And I just wanted clarity from the committee on whether you were satisfied with the explanation given by the department in terms of the memorandum of agreement that would be entered into between the Competition Commission and the regulator, or whether the committee needs to decide on how the committee wants to deal with that issue. So if I can just have clarity on the economic relator and the relationship between the Competition Commission, because that was also a big concern that was raised. So if the committee can just indicate whether they were satisfied with the explanation given.
Are you asking this on the basis that our minutes does not clarify this matter, Mayor Ganjin?
So all the issues that I'm raising now is where there was there wasn't clarity. So, for example, some of the issues I'm saying that the committee has decided, and the state law advisor says it was just a concern. So for the point of getting to the A-list, I just want to be sure that these were decisions and the committee is satisfied, so that we give effect to the members.
Okay. Because I thought we'll there were actually three issues that I thought we had concerns with last time, but I think because we are we have already started with this, let's continue and deal with these matters as you raised them. Honorable Chris Unsing.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, what we're dealing with here was indeed one of the concerns, and if I can just table this very practical complication that might occur in future, and that is what and how do we deal with a situation where someone approaches the Competitions Commission simultaneously with the ETR? And I'm not convinced that the MOU would adequately regulate the possibility of such an occurrence. And more complicated would be a different ruling between the two. And indeed, in terms of the assignment of the Competitions Commission and that of ETR, various aspects can be regarded as a function of the one and a function of the other. Therefore, I'm cautious to suggest that the legislation should simply direct someone with any concern only to the one or the other. So I'm just concerned about the practical situation that can happen, that someone could have an issue and therefore approach both the Competitions Commission and the ETR. My opinion is that a memorandum of agreement is not adequate then to address such practical complications.
I hear what you are saying, Honorable Hunsinger. All what I was trying to say is that where there were concerns and those concerns were addressed in a particular way, we should take as this committee that those concerns were addressed so that we don't reopen issues which we have gone through. That was what I was going to request. What would we suggest on this matter, because we are already on it, honorable members? Because when we were there, an issue was raised that this will be corrected by way of a memorandum. What is the suggestion then to settle this matter if we want to move away from the memorandum? Let me hear, members. Honorable Ramato.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I hear what Honorable Rutsinger's example is, but now the relationship between Competition Commission and the regulator will be also regulated by the Memorandum of Understanding. The example that he has given, it will be covered by Memorandum of Understanding. I think we need to leave it like that, as we have agreed before. Thank you.
Mayor Richardson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with regards to the relationship between the regulator and the Competition Commission, Clause 43.1 of the bill does provide that the regulator must negotiate and conclude this agreement, this memorandum of agreement, with the Competition Commission to coordinate and harmonize the exercise of jurisdiction over competition matters and to ensure consistent application of the principles of this Act. She has also mentioned that Clause 43.1A and Clause 43 does sufficiently cover the relationship and provide for a mechanism for the regulator and the Competition Commission to work together. There will be this memorandum of agreement in place, and it aims to harmonize and coordinate exercise of jurisdiction over the competition matters. And this should, in practice, resolve any issues that may be encountered. And it does provide for this process of consultation between the regulator and the Competition Commission regarding competition and matters. And this will adequately assist in the dealing with competition matters in the future, Chair. Thank you, Chair. That's our submission.
Okay. That settles it, Honorable Onsinga. Thank you very much for coming back and saying you're fine with it. Let's take it as it is. thank you, Mayor Hari Charan.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You can lower your hand. If I talk to you, you must know I'm still looking at your hand. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mekanjin.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to, okay, in terms of clause 4.2, I just want to make a comment. There was a concern by the committee about having consultation with the provincial and municipal departments when dealing with the bill. And the state law advisor has indicated that this bill was tagged as a Section 76 bill, and so therefore different provinces and municipalities will be consulted. So that's not, but that's just a point that I'm making. If you could just give me a moment, Chairperson, I just want to check. I've proposed a new clause that deals with complaints by the council as against the regulator and vis-a-vis the complaints by the regulator against the council. And it basically is an arbitration clause that I thought would be useful in the event of disputes between the two. I'm not sure whether members would see the value in such a clause, and if members could please indicate whether they would want an inclusion of a clause that deals with disputes between council and regulator. So basically the clause would read something along the lines of, the party shall use all reasonable efforts to resolve any dispute that may arise through good faith negotiations. Each party shall nominate a senior representative of its management to meet at any mutually agreed location to resolve the dispute. In the event that negotiations do not result in a mutually acceptable solution, the dispute shall be handled in accordance with Clause AA. And then it talks about the arbitration, association of arbitrators, where you'd appoint an arbitrator, and that the arbitrator would then hear the matter and make an award. And obviously that this award and the provisions of this clause will not prevent either party to approach a court to obtain any urgent relief. Thank you, Chair.
Let's hear from Mayor Hari Charan and the department. Then we'll go to Honorable Onsinga. Mayor Charan. Okay. That the mucus. Yes. I'm opening for you to comment on this clause that is being proposed by Mayor Ganjin.
I actually like it, Chair. I think the decisions of the council, like you would see it from the commission side, it's not alpha and omega. And therefore, you would want to allow for that arbitration process to take place. So in that view, I would support the addition of that clause, Chair, from our side.
Thank you. Mayor Chairman. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, but by the decision of the department, if they are satisfied to include that clause 16A, we follow the instructions. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Unsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I find the suggestion very useful. Arbitration should certainly be an appropriate mechanism to then, in this case, harmonize a condition of dispute between the council and the regulator. Why wasn't a memorandum of understanding considered rather than arbitration? And why wasn't arbitration considered in any potential disputes between the Competition Commission and the regulator? Just as a side question, your prerogative to address it or not, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Honorable Unsinger. Meganjin, you want to quickly respond to that or the department?
Excuse me, sorry, Chair. As I understand it, Chair, a memorandum of agreement is ordinarily and rightly so the first step. Arbitration comes at a later stage, so when there is a dispute. So you could have the memorandum of agreement between the two, but the arbitration, as I say, is the last step. So when there's serious trouble, despite any agreement between the parties.
Okay. Thank you. Can we have a seconder for Honorable Unsinger on this arbitration thing?
I second Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Ramado.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Ramado. Thank you very much. Anybody who's against? Nobody, thank you. Meg Ganjin.
Chairperson, I'm just going to go through my notes. If you could just allow me a minute, I want to see if there is anything else that I've missed out before we move on to the A list. If I'm just looking at time, if you could just give me a moment. Thank you, Chair.
The moment is yours. Thank you very much. Valerie?
Yes, Chair.
Is the committee live?
Is the committee watching? I can't hear you, sorry.
Are we live?
The meetings are streamed and this one is streamed, Chair.
Okay. I just wanted to remind members, I hear them very quiet. Normally when we are streamed live, are we streamed live? Then I know members are very active. So yeah, we are streamed.
Sorry, thank you, Steve, for that indulgence. I have serious trouble.
Before you continue, let me recognize this hand, Advocate Almanel.
Thank you, Chair. I thought I would just pop in based on members' agreements to add the arbitration clause. Chair, it's quite a substantial clause that was not in published with the bill. We may just need the legal drafters to give input on whether or not that clause may require a further publication, Chair, which will then just require our application to the House to do so and get further input on that and any other additional clauses that the committee may agree to, Chairperson.
Advocate, yeah, that is why I wanted the views of these legal gurus. Now they come late, these views today. I don't know why. Let's check that with the legal gurus. I think you are assisting us not to end up with going back to public participation again.
Chairperson, I'd like to just consider whether we would have to go back to that. My prima facie view is that we would not have to, because it really just deals with the internal arrangement and the way in which to deal with disputes. And it's quite legal. But let me revert. Let me just think about it. And I will revert to the committee when next we meet, if that's acceptable.
I think that's acceptable. Thank you. And Mayor Richardson, do you have anything to say?
Chair, just regarding the issue of publication, if I may just have 2 minutes to consider that
person
and I can come back to the committee
in
future. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Honorable. Thanks, Advocate Almanel. Let's hear you, Mayor Ganjan, in the meantime. Let's continue. We'll revert back to this.
Okay, there was an issue raised, and I have it as a committee decision. I also have it as the department agreeing to look at it, but the state law advisor has indicated that it was not a committee decision. So there was a concern about the electronic communication and email services. Just bear with me. Right, it was clause 69. There would be an inclusion for the timeframes and for sending and acknowledgements of receipt when using email services, what the timeframe would be, by when service would be deemed to have been received, and the like. And I'd like to know whether the committee would like the inclusion of that clause.
What was the decision of the committee?
As I understand it, there was an agreement to include it, but there's disagreement between myself and the state law advisor as to whether that was actually a PC committee decision.
Okay, that's a nice one. There was an agreement, so you say, what is Mayor Harikaran saying? What was the agreement?
That we would include a clause to that effect.
Honorable members, can we quickly refresh ourselves? Alan Chikambi. Were you raising your hand, Alan?
No, Honorable Chair.
Oh, okay. Honorable Chris Dunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Section 69 is a sensitive one, and we should be sensitive to the recipient of a potential notice as a consequence of the actions of the regulator. And in section 69, we then suggest what the appropriate and accepted means of acceptance of such a notice might be, which I think is very wide, because we say that it should be hand-delivered to that person, sent by electronic mail to that person's email address, and we say delivered by registered mail to that person's registered address of the domicilium. But that's how far the description goes. And I would suggest in practical terms that we should be a bit more specific.
Recording stopped.
Chairperson, what I'm saying now will not be recorded. Shall I stop?
Why are we stopping the recording, Valerie?
Recording in progress.
Thank you. There we go. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, Chairperson, yes, there's this dilemma that we say on the one hand, it must be delivered to the person by hand. Secondly, we say, but it can also be emailed. And thirdly, we say that it can be delivered by registered mail. None of these are prioritized, and none of these would then or is in any way further described to say that this would be regarded as having been delivered, apart from the fact that all three of those are put next to each other. So it is a wide option on the side of the regulator, but it is rather restrictive on the recipient side. So as a public representative, I'm raising caution for this potential act. And as a legislator, I'm saying, well, how else do you want to execute the functions of a regulator? And that's the dilemma that we sit with here. And I don't have another solution or a better solution other than to expand on the three options that is given, in the sense that whatever method, in other words, whether it's by hand, whether it's by email, whether it's by registered mail, that the recipient has to register having received this, in recognizing that, you know, it has actually been delivered. But, you know, if we think of practical terms, if we think of township setup, if we think of people not having access to internet, not having access to computers, and we're talking of, you know, an intention to regulate like the taxi industry, which involves the ordinary person and business person. So this can become very complicated, and that's possibly where I want to end this input, because it is complicated. We must see to it that the regulator can adequately and effectively, efficiently function, execute its functions. But then on the other hand, there is this element of fairness of the recipient who then receives a particular document or notice from the regulator.
Mayor Karen.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with regards to the use of the word electronic communication in Clause 69, Chair, in the text in Clause 1 of the bill, the term electronic communications is defined as has the meaning as set out in Section 1 of the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act. And here, if I may refer to the Electronic Communications and Transaction Act, definition contained in that act of electronic communication means the emission, transmission, or reception of information, including without limitation voice, sound, data, text, video, animation, visual images, moving images and pictures, signals or combination thereof by means of magnetism, radium, other electromagnetic waves, optical electromagnetic systems, or any agency of the like nature, whether with or without the aid of channel conduct, but does not include content service. Chair, that definition of electronic communications in terms of the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act does include the transmission or reception of information that will be done by email. So it's our submission that the receipt of emails is adequately covered here in terms of service, and clause 69 should remain the same. Thank you, Chair. And maybe the department has in some further information to add in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You can lower your hand. Mayor Chairman. Honorable Chris Onsinga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I am comfortable and I suggest that we accept Clause Section 69 as it is and move on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any seconder?
Honorable Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Mramada.
I second Honorable Hutsinga.
You are very effective today, Honorable Boramadwa. Thank you very much. Meganjin, can we move forward?
Yes, Chairperson, we can move forward. What I propose is, I think that I have dealt with the major concerns that I've got noted. Perhaps we could then look to go through the A-list as prepared by the State Law Advisor, and if there is anything else or any other further concerns by members, we can address it at that stage. Thank you, Chairperson.
So you are saying to me, I must leave you alone now and talk to somebody else.
For the moment, Chair, I'm saying that. But notwithstanding, so when the members do go through the A-list with the State Law Advisor, if there's anything that rings a bell or raises an alarm, we can always discuss it, because I think the purpose of an A-list is obviously to get to a particular stage, and that's what we're trying to do. So I may have left out something, and we can pick it up once we've gone through the A-list.
Thank you very much, Mayor Kanjin, for your good work. We really appreciate it. Let's allow you a space to breathe. Mayor Richard, are we talking about you now? Ms. Archeren? Okay. Mayor Almanel?
Chair, I'm just doing the screen sharing to assist the State Law Advisor. So I've just placed on the screen for members the draft A-list that members received. And then next to it, I'm putting the bill so that if there's a need to do cross-reference, we can do that, Chair.
Yeah, but who's leading us? Am I correct that it is Mayor Chairman?
Yes, Chair. That will be the State Law Advisor that has to take us through this A-list.
Okay, let me try again. State Law Advisor, Mayor Chairman, are you with us? Am I audible, Advocate Almane?
Yes, Chair, I can hear you. There may be some connection issues in the other provinces. In Cape Town, we have a very very beautiful day today, so my connection is nice.
What do we do when there are connection problems with the State Law Advice?
Chair, I will try and phone her very quickly, if that's okay. Just to assist you.
Okay. Let's I think let's do that. if we don't find the Advocate Almanel, you'll be ready to take us through. Eh? I don't like idly. Let's try.
Thank you, Chair. Apologize about that. Having some connection problems. It seems to be fine now. I apologize about that.
Well, in which province are you, ma'am?
I'm in the Western Cape, Chair.
I'm told that the weather is beautiful there, so there shouldn't be a connections problem. But maybe you are...
They are doing some construction in the place I'm staying in, whether that is interfering with the signal to the internet connection. I apologize, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, if I may have... Chair, before we begin with the A-list, if I may have the permission of the committee, just to return to a previous point with regard to the proposed Clause 16A by the Parliamentary Law Advisor. May I please address the committee regarding that issue of publication, Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. With regard to proposed 16A, Chair, I would just like to mention that when the bill was approved by us as state law advisors, when the bill was approved for cabinet, it was excluding this proposed clause 16A. And this procedure for arbitration is a procedural one. It's a procedural matter, and we humbly submit that Parliament should decide on the issue of publication of that proposed new clause. Thank you, Chair.
You humbly submit that what should happen?
If Parliament could assist us with deciding on whether that clause should be published again, as was the query. With the issue of publication, whether it needs to be published again.
Wow. Who brought this law? Because if it was not part of the bill, May Archerin?
It was not part of the bill that was approved for cabinet, introduction to cabinet, Chair.
Okay. May Kanjan?
Sorry, Chair. Like I said, I would revert to the committee with regards to that clause and the issue of publication. And you agreed to give me an opportunity to get back to the committee on the publication of that.
Yeah. Okay. Let me say it here and now. We hear you, May Kanjin. We hear you, May Haricharan. At that particular time, when you come back, we will then decide what do we do with this law, because we hear you. Let me note this matter so that it's Clause 69, as you say it.
Clause 16A, Chair.
16A. Okay. All right. We will. Deal with that clause. Can we agree that we give Mayor Kanjan an opportunity to look at that, and we come back, we deal with it, and we close that matter? We are not, as the committee, wanting really to waste any more time in terms of public consultations on a matter that we don't feel strong, but let's allow a presentation on that matter. Can we then move, May Haricharan?
Yes, Chair, thank you.
Yes, lead us, May. I can see blue of an infrastructure. What are you saying there?
Chair, may I commence with clause 1 of the A-list, Chair, of the draft A-list? Thank you.
Can you do what?
May I proceed with the discussion of the A list, Chair, and the proposed amendments, Clause 1? Thank you, Chair. In terms of the proposed amendments to the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill, Clause 1, and the proposed amendment is on page 6, from line 11 to 12. After facility to omit an infrastructure or resource owner. That is the proposed amendment in clause 1.
Let's see happiness from members or any other view. Do we agree? Are we happy? Honorable members, I'm talking to you.
We are happy.
We are happy.
Honorable McDonald, Honorable Ramatoa, anybody who's not happy? Nobody? Let's move.
Thank you, Chair. Number 2, under clause 1, on page 7, in line 7, after place to insert or platform. That is the second proposed amendment, Chair.
Happy? Are we happy? Can we hear members saying?
Happiness, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any seconder?
I second, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable members. Let's do so. As we move, I will test if I see a hand of a member who's not happy. Otherwise, if I don't see a hand, that will mean happiness. Is that acceptable, honorable members?
Agree, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Agree, Chairperson.
Let's move, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. On page 7, after line 13, to insert the following definition. National Land Transport Act means the National Land Transport Act, 2009, in brackets Act Number 5 of 2009.
I am looking at any hand. I don't see any hand that has a problem with that. Going once, twice, thrice. Members are happy. Let's move.
Thank you, Chair. On page 7, in line 27, after let me begin with that one again, Chair. On page 7, in line 27, after subsection A in bracket, to insert which is.
Thank you very much. Mayor Harkeren, looking at my screen, going once, twice, thrice. Members are happy. Let's continue.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. In terms of clause 2 of the bill, on page 8, on page 8, in line 12, to omit 1999.
Yes, we should be omitting 1999.
Yes, and the next proposed amendment is on page 8, in line 13, to omit, 1999.
Omit, 1999, going once. Twice, members are happy. Let's move, ma'am.
Okay. Clause 4, on page 9, after line 40, to insert the following subsections.
Mm-hmm.
Subsection 11.1, the minister may in consultation with the regulator, from time to time, by notice in the gazette, declare that regulators, in no particular order are consolidated into the regulator. Subsection A, including the following regulators but not limited to, subsection 1, cross-border road traffic agency, cross-border road transport agency, subsection 2, national public transport regulator, subclause 3, air service licensing council, subclause 4, international air services council, and subclause 5, any other. Then you have subsection B, if the minister has determined that either of the following circumstances apply, the department must produce a report from conducting a review of performance and capabilities to incorporate regulators in 3 years from the effective date and from time to time, thereafter. Subsection 2, before the minister may consider making a determination contemplated in subsection 1, the department in the prescribed manner and form must publish the relevant report contemplated in subsection B1 in the Gazette within the prescribed period. Subsection B must publish in the Gazette a notice that such a determination is being considered and invite public submissions in response to the notice. And C may conduct public hearings on the matter in appropriate circumstances.
Okay. Honorable Chris Winsinger.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm looking at 11 sub 1 sub A, and I'm wondering what happened to the ports regulator, because all we've got listed there is cross CBRT A, National Public Transport Regulator, Air Service Licensing Council, International Air Service Council, and then any other, or is the ports regulated included under any other?
Any other.
It's nice and open.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not a regulator. To live under this fear.
Okay. Can we have a response?
Chair, the port regulator would actually be included under any other regulator, Chair. It's not an exhaustive list. It does include any other regulators as well. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. I think that settles it. Can we move? Emma Almanel, before we move, advocate.
Thank you, Chair. Just quickly, the port regulator and the clauses that will be removed from the Principal Act of the port regulator is specific in the bill. There's actually more information on that in the bill. This clause is that additional clause that members wanted to deal with the future phases. So although one can argue that port regulator will fall under 5 any other, it is actually more better dealt with in the bill elsewhere, Chair. So this is the future phases. I thought I'd just point that out, Chair.
Thank you, Advocate. Thank you very much. Me Harikarin, are you with us?
Yes, Chair. Chair, if I may please just add, Schedule 2 also does provide for the transition. Schedule 2 does also provide for the transition of the port regulator, just to include more information. So the port regulator is also included in Schedule 2 as part of the transitional provisions.
I think we had understood that all what was I was saying, can we then move forward? May I share?
Yes, Chair. Yes, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Okay. In terms of clause 6, on page 10 in line 9, after prescribed, to insert the word, to insert reasonable.
Yes, ma'am. Members are happy with that.
Okay. Clause 16, on page 14 in line 34, to omit must and to substitute may.
Yes, ma'am. Members are happy with that.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 30, on page 19 in line 9, after within, to omit 20 and to substitute 30.
Omit and substitute with 30. 20 substitute with 30. Yes, ma'am. Members are happy.
Thank you, Chair. In clause 50, on page 28. Just wait for my to get to that section. Clause 50 on page 28. From lines 19 to 20, to omit, comma, 1999, in brackets, Act Number 1 of 1999. Close brackets.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Members are
clause 50. Thank you, Chair. Clause 53 on page 29 from lines 15 to 16 to omit, comma, 1999, in brackets, Act Number 1 of 1999. Close brackets.
Yes, ma'am. Members are happy.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 54 on page 29 in line 34 to omit all must.
Omit all must. Members are happy, ma'am.
Thank you. In clause 56 on page 30 in line 27, after chief executive officer, to insert comma the regulator.
Comma the regulator. Members are happy, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 64 on page 33. Clause 64 on page 33 in line 33, to omit connection with an and to substitute with obstruction of an.
Obstruction of N. Yes, ma'am. Members are happy with it.
Thank you, Chair. On page 53, this is also following the clause 64. On page 33, in line 49, after off section, to substitute 53 with 55.
53. Substituted with 55. Members are happy, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. We move on to Schedule 1. Schedule 1, on page 36, from lines 8 to 10, to underline the following words, Transport Economics Regulator, established by Section 29 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, comma, 2020.
Transport Act, comma, 2020. Members are happy, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. On page 36, in line 16, after 46, to insert square brackets,
round brackets, number one, close round brackets, and square brackets.
Round and square bracket. Members are happy, ma'am.
Thank you. On page 36, from lines 18 to 19, to underline the following words, comma, or prescribed in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, comma, 2020.
Comma 2020. Yes, ma'am, members are happy.
On page 36, from lines 26 to 28, to underline subsection 1.
Underline subsection 1. Members are happy, ma'am, you can go.
Okay. On page 36, from lines 31 to 34, to underline subsection 2.
Underline subsection 2.
Yes.
Members are here, we can go, ma'am.
Thank you. On page 36 and 40, to omit the shuffle day and to substitute with an underline shuffle day.
Members are here, ma'am. Let's forge ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. On page 36, from lines 41 to 46, to underline paragraphs A and B.
Underline paragraphs A and B. Let's forge ahead. Members are happy, ma'am.
Thank you. On page 36, from the lines 48 to 50, to underline subsection 2A.
Subsection 2A, underlined. Members are happy, ma'am.
Okay, on page 36. On page 36, from lines 52 to 55, and on page 37, from lines 1 to 9, to underline subsections 6, 7, and 8.
Underline subsections 6, 7, and 8. Let's forge ahead. Members are happy.
Thank you. On page 37, from lines 12 to 21, to underline subsections 6A and 6B.
Underline subsection 6A and 6B. The members of this portfolio committee are happy. Let's forge ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. On page 37, from line 24 to 26, to underline subsection 6.
Subsection 6 is underlined, and there is no problem with that according to the members. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. On page 37, from lines 30 to 32, to omit subsection 1 and to substitute the following subsection.
That is 72, underlined. Members are happy. We can move on, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. On page 37, from lines 38 to 40, to underline the following words, comma, the Transport Economic Regulator established by Section 29 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, comma, 2020.
Transport Economic Regulations, comma, Act 2020. Members are happy, ma'am. Let's forge ahead.
Thank you, Chair. On page 37, from line 45 to 50, to underline subsection 1.
Subsection 1 is underlined. Members are happy. Thank you.
Thank you. On page 37, from lines 52 to 54, to underline subsection 1A.
Underline subsection 1A. Members are happy. Let's forge ahead.
Thank you. on page 37 from line 58 to page 38 from line 1 to omit clause 1 and to substitute the following clause. The clause is subsection 1, section 1 of the Companies Act, section 1 of the Airport Company Act 1993, in brackets, Act number 44 of 1993, close brackets, is hereby amended by A, the deletion of the definition of committee in inverted commas, semicolon N, B, by the insertion of after the definition of permission in inverted commas to insert the following definition. Regulator means the transport economics regulator established by section 29 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020, and all of that to be underlined here.
Ma'am, let's move forward. My members are happy.
Okay, thank you, Chair. On page 8 from lines 9 to 11, to underline the following words, except in accordance with the price control approved and published in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020.
Regulation of Transport Act, 2020. Let's yes. Move forward. Members are happy.
Thank you. On page 38 from lines 28 to omit paragraph B and to substitute the following paragraph and all and following paragraph paragraph B underline to delete the word make recommendations to minister and to underline may request advice from the transport economic regulator in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020, regarding any action that the minister may take in terms of subsection 3 or 4.
In terms of subsection 3 or 4, members are happy, ma'am. That's for
you. Thank you. Thanks. On page 38 from lines 36 to 38, to underline the following words, file a complaint with the Transport Economic Regulator in terms of Section 16 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act 2020.
Economic Regulation of Transport Act 2020. Members are happy, members, let's go ahead.
Thank you. On page 38, from lines 45 to 47, to omit clause 1 and to substitute the following clause. Subclause 1, Section 1 of the Air Traffic and Navigation Services Company Act, 1993, in brackets Act Number 45 of 1993, close brackets is hereby amended by A, the deletion of the definition of committee, and B, by the insertion after the definition of permission to insert the following definition. Regulator means the transport economic regulator established by Section 29 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020.
Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020. Members are happy, members, forge ahead.
Thank you. On page 38 from lines 52 to 54, to underline the following words, except in accordance with a price control approved and published in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020.
Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020. Let's forge ahead, ma'am. Members are happy.
Thank you. Thank you. On page 38 from lines 58 to 61, and on page 39 from lines 1 to 3, to omit subsection 1 and to substitute with the following section. Subsection 1, if the company has indicated in a business plan contemplated in section 7 that it intends to close any air navigation infrastructure mentioned in section 1A or to terminate or substantially curtail in air traffic service or air traffic navigation or air navigation service, which was rendered by the state or any person on behalf of the state immediately prior to the transfer date, the company shall at the same time as it submits such business plan to the shareholding minister in terms of section 7, submit a copy thereof to the minister.
Submit a copy thereof to the minister.
Minister.
Yes.
Yes, Chair.
My members are happy.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The next point on page 39 from lines 10 to 13, to omit paragraph B and to substitute the following paragraph. B, may request advice from the transport economic regulator in terms of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020, regarding any action that the minister may take in terms of subsection 3 or 4.
In terms of subsection 3 or 4, members are happy, ma'am. Let's move forward.
Thank you. On page 39, from lines 17 to 21, omit subsection 1 and to substitute the following subsection. Subsection 1, any person who feels aggrieved by the failure of the company to comply with any provision of section 5.2 or 11.1 may file a complaint with the Transport Economics Regulator in terms of section 16 of the Economic Regulation Transport Act, 2020.
March 2020.
Yes.
Members are happy, ma'am.
On page 39, from lines 33 to 35, to omit paragraph A and to substitute the following paragraph. A is determined by the Transport Economic Regulator in terms of Part A of Chapter 3 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, 2020, on the recommendation of the agency. The next item, number 26, on page 39, from lines 41 to 45, to underline subsection 5.
To analyze subsection 5. Members are happy, ma'am. Let's move.
Thank you. Schedule 2, on page 41, from lines 55 to 56, to omit the words, except any asset excluded by the minister.
Except any asset excluded by the minister. Members are happy, ma'am. Let's forge ahead.
That was the final item on the proposed amendments, Chair. Thank you. On the A list for now.
So you are done with the A list?
Yes, Chair.
Can we, honorable members, are you still with me?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, we are with you, honorable Chairperson.
We are behind you, Chair. We are behind you.
Ubaba Ulisa Gamani, there's a sign I like that appears on the screen of honorable Chris Hunsinger. I love that sign, and let's go back a bit to that point 16A. May I share?
Yes, Chair.
Meganjen, are you still with us?
Yes, Chairperson.
Can we read that 16A as a clause that you proposed?
Chair, sorry, would you like me to read this out aloud?
Yes, please.
Sure. Complaints by the council against the regulator, 16A. The party should use all reasonable efforts to resolve any dispute that may arise through good faith negotiations. Each party shall nominate a senior representative of its management to meet at any mutually agreed location to resolve the dispute. In the event that negotiations do not result in a mutually acceptable solution, the dispute shall be handled in accordance with Clause 16AA. Clause 16AA, any dispute or difference arising shall be referred to an arbitration and settled by arbitration according to the commercial rules then in effect of the Association of Arbitrators. Such arbitration shall be held in a mutually agreed place and conducted in English, in the English language, before one arbitrator appointed in accordance with said rules. The arbitration will be governed by South African law, and any award will be subject to appeal, which appeal shall not cause unacceptable delays. The agreement to arbitrate shall be enforceable in and judgment upon any award may be made in order of court after having having appropriate jurisdiction. A dispute shall be deemed to have arisen when either party notifies the other party in writing to that effect. These provisions shall not prevent either party to approach any court in South Africa to obtain timely injunctive or other relief in cases of urgency.
Thank you very much. Is it true that this was not part of the bill? It's a new inclusion.
That's correct, Chair.
That's correct.
Yes, it was a proposal that I had inserted, just given that I felt that there was no mechanism to deal with complaints between the two, the regulator and the council, and I thought perhaps it would be prudent to include it. The difficulty, obviously, that we are faced with is that because it wasn't in the original bill, and it is a substantial amendment, if I can't find anything to link it into the existing bill, then we would have to go for public participation. So I need to literally go through the bill and see if I can't tie it in with any clause that's already in the bill.
My view is that we should not risk this bill that is almost finished by taking it back to the public because of this inclusion. Let's find a mechanism within the bill to settle this matter, and that should suffice. I'm a bit worried that we will be throwing a baby with the bath. Should we not find this thing? So I want to humbly plead with all the members and the gurus that as much as this is a law that we do not see any harm in including it, there might be a harm if it makes us then it is outside the ambit of what we are working with. Can I really try and persuade members on this point? It was raised by Advocate Almanel, and it is being raised by Mehari Charan, and I, thinking about it, I thought maybe let's deal with it and close this matter here and now. Can I get somebody who agrees with me or somebody who has a view different than this one? Honorable members, Honorable Chris Hunsinger.
Chairperson, I agree with you. The construct has from the onset included the council and the regulator and the board, and I don't think there should be a problem in tying it in to the legislation design as it was, but we leave it to verification from our legal experts. I do find it very important to include clause 16A as well as clause 16 sub AA, and I would submit that it would be a better piece of legislation with the inclusion of 16A and 16AA, and I therefore concur that we must find a way to include this. It would definitely be a better piece of legislation with the inclusion of this.
Babu Mapel.
I just wanted to check in terms of what are the legal implications if we don't go to public consultation? Are there any fundamental consequences that we may maybe have to suffer in the near future? But also, if there aren't any fundamental legal and legislative consequences that may impact the bill negatively, and looking at the ground that has been covered so far, I think perhaps we can move with the bill, subject to what you are saying, that perhaps the legal experts within the meeting, the department, and the legal advisors of Parliament can advise. But if there isn't any fundamental negative impact that may impact us, I think then I would submit that we also move with your suggestion. Thank you.
Honorable members, thank you very much. This is a clause that has been suggested by Mekanjin, and there was a view that it may necessitate us to go for public hearing if we take it. So the caution is that the views that Mekanjin says that there could be a way of including it, linking it with the work that we are already doing, which is fine. I think that's all what we are saying. We agree with it if it could be linked with the within the ambit of what we are doing, because the suggestion is so good. It is a clause that has been suggested today, and the caution we are throwing to the wind is that it should not make us to go back. We allow the gurus to go back and check how best can we do to link this bill without really taking us out, having covered all the ground that we have covered. I think that is clearly noted, and I want to thank both members for doing that. Any other thing concerning the bill, advocate? What is the next step? We're done with A list. Advocate Dalmane?
Chair, the drafting team will sit with the clarification that we received on some of the other outstanding issues this morning. They will see where that then gets incorporated into the second draft of the A-list. Given that members have agreed to the content of the draft A-list, they will just fit in the new clauses, and then at the next meeting, Chair, those new clauses will be the focus, just to see if members are happy with that. And then following that, if there's no other concerns, no need for further advertisements or permission from the House to do new inclusions, then Chair, we do the clause by clause, but Valerie will assist with that process going forward as the procedural officer. Chair, I think for today, if members don't have any other concerns linked to the discussion, this portion of our work on the ERT bill, I think, is at a logical conclusion, Chair.
Thank you very much, everybody, all the members. I think this was a bit the tough bill at some point. We had to postpone other things in order to maintain hegemony amongst ourselves. And I want to thank members for having allowed that space for us to move as a committee on these issues, where we could not see eye to eye. It was good that we shelve the issues and to deal with them later. So I really want to thank everybody, including the department up to so far. We will then wait until the legal people are ready to come back and do clause by clause as we have started. Otherwise, I see the minutes of the 31st of August of a meeting. We started at 9 o'clock and the agenda was briefing by the Department of Transport on the online license booking system and all other matters related to vehicle and license renewals. And the second item was deliberations on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, number 7 of 2020, of course. The third and the last item was consideration and adoption of minutes and proceedings. I may not move on and say who were present in this meeting, but I've gone through these minutes. Any corrections? Or if there is no corrections, any mover for adoption of the minutes?
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Ramadan moves for the adoption of the minutes. Thanks.
Honorable Ramadwa, thank you very much for proposing that we should adopt the minutes. Any seconder?
Honorable MacDonald seconds, Chairperson.
Honorable MacDonald seconds that the minutes be taken as through reflection of what happened that day. Any matters arising from that set of minutes? Going once, twice, thank you very much. In front of me, I see the minutes of the Portfolio Committee on Transport dated the 1st of September, 2021. The meeting started at 9 o'clock. Venue, it was a Zoom visual platform, agenda, the briefing by the Department of Transport on its 2021-2022 first quarter expenditure. The second item was briefing on the Railway Safety Bill number 7 of 2021 and the last item was the motion of desirability on the Railway Safety Bill. Any corrections on these minutes? Otherwise, any mover for the adoption of the minutes, members? Honorable Mabena?
No, Chair, I think let's move. No correction.
Thank you very much, Sragela Pambili Mhlonishwa. Anybody who seconds the proposal by Honorable Mabena?
Honorable Ramadwa seconds the proposal. Thank you.
Honorable Ramadwa seconds the proposal. Any matter arising from the minutes? Thank you very much. Valerie, if there are no any announcements, this should safely bring us to the end of our meeting today. Any announcements, Valerie?
Yes, Chair. Members would recall that I've said that the Parliament program was always subject to change. It was amended yesterday. Recess starting now on the 13th of September until the 1st of November. The most urgent matters, Chair, is from tomorrow. The House is sitting from 10th. So the indication from the presiding officers at this stage is that committees will not be sitting unless there are business that urgently requires it, such as bills that have constitutional deadlines, etc. And the procedure always is, chair, for committees to meet when the House is sitting. There would need to be an application to the House chair and the chief whip. I don't think the committee will get permission to meet, chair. So I would need to know whether the committee would require tomorrow's meeting to be seen as postponed until the fourth term. That is the one matter. The other matter is, chair, the info alert that went out this morning indicated that committees will not be granted permission for oversight during the constituency period and for ordinary meetings. This will affect the committee's planned oversight to KZN as well as to Gauteng Mpumalanga that was set for next week and for October, the week, that weekend of the 1st to the 3rd. The other matter is, chair, last week the committee decided to meet with some of the stakeholders that requested permission. So, chair, now it will obviously not be possible this week because the House is sitting and there's now the long recess period up to the 1st of November that will be followed by the BRRR period. So the committee's program will be very congested up to the 17th of November, chair. So I would like to hear what the committee's view is now in terms of the postponement of the oversight to the fourth term, as well as the meetings with the stakeholders, because it obviously can't be accommodated now.
Valerie, are you done, Valerie?
I'm done, chair.
Thank you very much for the eloquence with which you have presented. There are hands on the screen, starting by Honorable Hunsinger and Obaba Umabena. Those are the hands of the honorable members who are active today. Thank you. Baba Hansen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, allow me to just acknowledge the great effort of our staff, in particular Mrs. Karelse, who really tries utmost best to juggle between procedures of Parliament, programs of Parliament, demands from the committee, urgent matters. And I just want to acknowledge that it is difficult to make all these elements work and coincide into a program. Given the conditions that we have with an unexpected declaration, confirmation, in fact, of a election that surely involves all of us in being constituency heads of constituencies, and the importance of us to get involved with our constituencies, we have little option other than to accept and postpone. It is not ideal. It certainly isn't what we would want to do, because it in effect means that we are disappointing people that had an expectancy to speak to us, to meet with us. So, Chairperson, I would then suggest that you write them a letter and explain the position and the desire of the committee to in fact engage, and that it should not be seen as a rejection, but an postponement and a request for understanding given the conditions and circumstances that we as public reps are not employees, but that we are public reps and that we have very important work to do in our constituencies and to fight an election. That would be my proposal, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Chris Hunsinger, thank you very much for the proposal. Masrakele Pambili Mhlonishwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think obviously the parliamentary program does not only affect our committee, it affects all committees of parliament. I think I just want to maybe Honorable Chris Hansen has said, maybe to say, Valerie has said that up until the 17th of November, I just wanted us to perhaps maybe make a commitment to prioritize these oversights and the engagements with the stakeholders that into the new parliamentary term post the local government elections, that we actually prioritize this and make sure that we go and visit these communities as per the proposed program. Because you also understand that some of these oversights have been kicked to touch for so long, as far back as March. So if now we're saying that, but before the end of this year, I think we need to set a serious commitment that we are going to visit them, but to prioritize them in terms of the new draft program that will be drafted post the local government election.
Thank you, Mhlonishwa. Siyabonga. Where are the members of the African National Congress in this meeting? I don't see
them. We are present, Chairperson.
What are you saying?
Isn't that it has been proposed and seconded? So we agree, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Where are the members of the fighters in this committee? No fighter today, Valerie?
No, Chair, there was an apology from Ms. Nolichungu and Mr. Chabangu is not in the meeting.
Okay, and there was also an apology from the IFP. What has happened with the NFP, Valerie?
Mr. Sabisi, Chair, is an alternate member, so he doesn't always attend.
Okay, thank you. No, honorable members, I think I hear what the members are saying, and that is a firm proposal that we should accept the situation as it is. Valerie will prepare letters and write to the people who said we are willing to see and explain to them. You see, that's how ANC mistreat me. When I talk, they come back, but it's okay. Maybe let me accommodate them. Honorable Manu.
Chair, thank you for accommodating me. I'm not opposed to what has been agreed to, but I wanted to put on the table an observation.
Okay.
That it would appear that as much, notwithstanding what my colleague Honorable Hunsinger has said about how the Secretariat tries very hard to juggle. My observation is that the Secretariat would seem to find every opportunity that we should not go for an oversight. Earlier on, the Secretary made a statement that I know the Chief Whip will not approve. I find that statement very, very interesting. How a Secretary can know that the Chief Whip will not approve. And that has been my observation on a couple of attempts we have made to do oversight as our job, as public reps. And I'm saying this, and I do apologize for raising my hand while you are speaking, because I didn't want my comments to change what has been proposed and seconded. That is not what I'm suggesting. But I think it is important as public reps who have been elected that we take note of, we might end up not doing oversight, honestly, you know, because there is always a very good reason that is put in front of us. That has been my observation, Chair. And I would like, as the colleagues move on, that correct me, maybe I'm wrong. I'm seeing shadows where there's absolutely no shadows. That was all, Chair, I wanted to put on the table as my observations, notwithstanding that the proposal has been moved and accepted, and I don't have objection to that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member Ubaba Ulisa Uchambas Wagwamangi. I had a chat yesterday with the Chair of Chairs on this matter, away from the officials, and we discussed it, and I thought, let me hear from the committee, but what you are saying, Chair, makes sense. I really just want to say it is a proposal from the parties themselves this time around that the program should change. And of course, Valerie is a bearer of good and bad news. She should understand that. Otherwise, I wanted to say, having dealt with this matter, I think we should also take note of what Honorable Mabena is saying. I want to humbly suggest that as a committee, we should find a way of pursuing the department to the positive in terms of the Mloto issue when it comes to rail. It makes a lot of sense. I did raise that, Honorable Mabena, when we are not here, when we're discussing with the department, because I thought the spirit with which we are dealing with this matter has come to a point where we can deal with this matter as a collective, looking at the possibilities and the practicalities. And I think the department, when I raised this matter last week, they agreed that there's that window of relooking into this matter. My view is that we should pursue that matter in a manner that we would be understood what we are saying will benefit the transport sector and the people of Mpumalanga and people of Gauteng and the people of South Africa. It's no longer about the people of Mpumalanga only. And I thought I should raise that point, that I am taking keen interest in seeing that we resuscitate this matter in a manner that will assist us moving forward. We take what you are saying, Honorable Mabena, that now that there are changes, when we find time to do oversight, we should not chop and change at that particular time. I think generally it should be a well-taken point, especially that this point is raised within a very good spirit. And I think we should leave it at that and commit that we are all in one when it comes to giving service to our people, and we should be able to assist each other moving forward. Let me then say thank you very much for the cooperation that one continues to get from members, the department, the officials of the portfolio committee, we definitely shall be able to go to the oversight visit, honorable members. We do want to go there, but let's understand that we need to go and ensure that what our parties has elected us as public representative, as stated clearly by Honorable Hun Singer, becomes a priority at this point. I want to wish all the members and all the different parties represented in this committee a good campaign, positive campaign, and let's come back still being united, irrespective of who wins. Those who had not registered candidates, go and register your candidate and ensure that we treat these elections with all the integrity that it needs. Otherwise, thank you very much. May the good Lord be with you as you campaign. Keep you safe until we meet. Thank you very much, honorable members and everybody that is in here. Thank you very much. Long live. Thank you.
Long live.
Thank you very much. Thank you, all of you. Thank you.
Record.